Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning, and we've been blessed this morning. I want to first, you may be seated. Go ahead and sit down. And I know everyone wants to stand up when I get up here to talk. I'm flattered, but we've been blessed in the early service and during the Sunday school hour to have Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute here sharing God's word with us. And we had a great question and answer time during the Sunday school hour. It could have kept on going, but Brad's got to catch a plane sooner than later. And so we're going to do our service a little out of order this morning, and we're going to have him share first. And so we get to hear from him. So Pacific Justice Institute was a great blessing to me during the COVID time. I've told you this before, but they had weekly, not webinars, but Zoom calls, basically. And I don't know how many thousands of people got onto those, but we were one of those participants here at Mountain View. And it helped us to know how to navigate in an unprecedented time. So we've been blessed. And Judy and Jeff Parks used to go to church with Brad Dacus down in California. And so we're just blessed by them facilitating his being here this morning. So Brad, thank you so much for sharing God's word with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Very good. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge, Lord God, that this is your day, this is your church, this is your pulpit. And Lord God, we just call upon you through your grace and mercy, just to, in your Holy Spirit, just to speak to us, to direct us, convict us. Father, we want you to be glorified this day and at this time. We just surrender this to you and what your word's going to show us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many times of life finally had, you know, lots of problems and all this turbulence, and you finally reached the point where you were on cruise control, where things were finally stable? You were finally, it did happen? Okay. Yeah, and then what happened after it happened? I will tell you, suddenly you're on cruise control and there's suddenly now a big cow in the middle of the road and you have to go left or right or have lots of hamburger meat. And that line works much better in Texas, but anyway. So that's what happened to me. I was the Western coordinator for Rutherford Institute. I'd opened an office for them 5 years earlier, defending religious freedom and these issues on the West Coast. And I suddenly get a call, and it was telling me, Brad, we're closing your regional office. We have to scale back, but we don't want to lose you, so we want to give you a promotion. We want to promote you to be the head of our public affairs office in Washington, D.C. You'll be the face of the organization for all media, radio and television. You'll testify before Congress. You have a higher salary, larger staff, larger office right there near the nation's capital. Well, of course, I didn't have to pray about this. Obviously, God was closing one door, opening another one. So I said, yes, sounds good. I love security. This is great. And then I couldn't sleep. Next night, couldn't sleep. Finally, I thought, oh, shoot, I've got to pray. Now, why did I not want to pray? I'll be honest with you. Because when I pray and there's a fork in the road and there's the easy way and the other way requiring faith, guess which way I'm convicted? It's the hard way. That's just what happens. I don't know, maybe you're different, but that's what usually happens with me. So I had to pray. So I knelt and prayed. And as soon as I did, the Lord brought this question to my mind, which is, Brad, what desires has God put on your heart? And the answer was to make sure that people got the help where it was needed the most here on the West Coast. Because this is the beaches of Omaha when it comes to the fight for religious freedom, parents' rights, the sanctity of life. This is it. So with boldness and courage, I said, yes, Lord, I will rise the call. I will rise the challenge. I will faithfully go on several conditions. And this is just what happened. I gave God several requirements because I wanted to make sure this was absolutely from him, or I didn't want to do it. So you can tell I had an attitude issue, okay? Jonah and I, we really connect, I think. So that's the guy who got swallowed up by the whale by not doing what God wanted. Okay. So anyway, I told him, I said, I need a free office space, indefinitely donated in Sacramento, free. A free computer system, keep me on the radio stations, the two at the time, for free. We have to be in the black in 3 months, and I'm never going to charge anyone ever for the work we do. I thought it was very reasonable with my business model. And God came through on all of them. Fast forward, that was back in 1997. I know what you're thinking. How can he be that old? He looked, no, go ahead. But back in 1997, and we now fast forward, by God's grace, we have offices in 36 offices in 29 states. Three of those are right here in Washington. Tri-Cities, Spokane, and Seattle. Per capita, I will say Washington State, we have more cases in Washington State per capita than any other state in the country. You guys keep us busy. So, beautiful, yeah, you're welcome. I like him. Beautiful state, especially when the sun's out. I mean, this is just gorgeous, but I don't know. This is a lot going on. Oh, I'm sorry. never mind. All right, so, but it's exciting to see what God's been doing. And we at Pacific Justice have been so actively involved. But we have a lot of challenges we're facing, our nation is. It is. I mean, historic challenges, spiritually, unbelievable challenges. And at the end of the day, we need to always go back to God's word, right? And so I want you to turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Or you know what? Don't bother. Just trust me. I'm a lawyer. So that's good. It's good you laughed. One church, they didn't laugh. They just went, yep. And I thought, oh, that's not a good sign. Okay. So chapter 3, verse 1. Now, this is the Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy. This is understood to be his last letter. Not only that, he knows it's going to be his last letter, probably because he says he's about to die. He knows he's about to die. So when people are giving you information and they're about to die, it's usually like high priority stuff, right? And then also, he addresses it, I believe, to us as well, because of what it says in verse 1. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Period. Yay. Okay. But this is what's going to happen, right? And then he gives details, specifics, so we don't have to speculate. Verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves. By the way, what do you call it when you take a picture through this thing? Is it a Yui? Is it a they? It's a selfie. I'm just saying. Okay. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. I mean, I felt so convicted by this, I sold one of my three yachts. No, I'm teasing. I don't do that line when I'm preaching near Newport Beach, California. It's too close to home, I think, maybe. But we are very, very obsessed, aren't we, with possessions, materialism, right? Lovers of money, status, boasters, proud, blasphemers, mocking God, things of God. We see that in our society so much. Disobedient to parents. Now, I have had two teenagers, and I thought for sure I saw this fulfilled, okay? There's something normal about teenagers becoming their own person and becoming adults, young adults. That's normal, right? But what's happening now, and what I believe this verse is talking about, is young people, when they become their own person, though, this is talking about how they're turning away from the teachings of their faith of their parents. Because this is written to the church. This is written to the church. This is what we're going to see happening within the church. Unfortunately, this is statistically what's happening. Over the last two decades, we have seen a 25% reduction in those calling themselves Christians in the United States today. In just two decades. That's huge. And you know where it's happening? It's not so much from the baby boomers. It's the millennials and Zs. It's younger people. They're not coming back to the faith. They're leaving the faith in large numbers. Now, one of the exceptions to that I want to make statistically are those who are being homeschooled and those who are being grounded in the Word and those who are being having mature relationships with other Christian adults in their church. A Pew Research study showed the strongest defense against a child turning away from the faith when they go to college is if they had friendships or relationships with at least five adults in their church other than their parents. And that's what's so great about a church like this. I go to a church about this same size. It's awesome because we have communion and relationships that help build that foundation. But this is very real, and I believe it's what we're seeing today. Unthankful. What's the synonym for unthankful? Entitlement. You ever heard that word? Oh, yeah. I just hope they don't make it change Thanksgiving to be Entitlement Day. Okay, we're entitled to this thing, turkey. We're entitled to, you know. But that mindset, unfortunately, is taught in our children and our society, that we're entitled to it. I was once buying a car. The finance person says, he goes, you know, after all, you deserve this. And out of my mouth, it just came out. It says, no, I deserve hell. I don't recommend that approach, okay? He goes, let me explain what I'm talking about. Anyway, he quickly did his, real fast, he got me out of there, so. Anyway, but unthankful, unholy, so that's separate from God. God is holy, we're separate from God. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Self-control is a good thing, right? But what does our society teach? What is Satan teaching in our society? If it feels good, do it, right? And one of the most common lines I hear from people who are living lifestyles and rebelling against God is, this is who I am. This is what I feel. Translation, this is what you're tempted. Well, we'll all be tempted. There's no temptations that are overtaking you, but such as is common to man. That's our sinful nature. So, but yet Satan is deceiving, saying, oh, this is your sinful nature. This is who you are. So don't repent from it. No, give in to it, which leads to death and destruction, unfortunately, and statistically. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Not complacent of good, but despisers. When I was a kid growing up, there are two kinds of people. Those who went to church and those be knowing they should be going to church. Pastor Bud, I'm just sorry I wasn't there Sunday. I had just one brisket too many last night. But next Sunday, I'm going to be coming. That was my world, right? Now it's different. You have those who are followers of Jesus and believe that the Bible is the holy word of God. And you have a large segment who hate followers of Jesus and hate what the Bible teaches in historic proportions. You guys, you know what I'm talking about? Right? I mean, this is, and we see it here in Washington State. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, the Supreme Court ruled this way in the marriage case, 5-4 decision. They ruled. Not only was it protected by the Equal Protection Clause, and I figured that'd be how they'd try to justify it, same-sex marriage. No, they went beyond that, and they created a new fundamental right of, quote, personal sexual fulfillment, end quote. What were they doing? They were basically taking their fist, shaking it at God, saying, we'd rather be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of you. And it's opening a hornet's nest. Fortunately, by God's grace, we had three people put on the Supreme Court during the prior administration that brought a halt to that trend line and has now reversed it in a very positive way, unbelievable way, for religious freedom, parents' rights, and the sanctity of human life. God is giving us a reprieve. So those of you who are thinking about adopting the bunker down doctrine, and that's where you say, we got to bunker down, get a cabin up there in the mountains and to the top of Mount Hood and get our Bible, our bullets, our bread, and bunker down. That's not in the Bible. There's no go ye therefore and bunker down anywhere, okay? No, it's instead be a salt and light to the world around us that needs Jesus. And God has given us a reprieve by his grace and mercy for this time to be able to do that and actually suffer minimally to what I believe is coming inevitably. So we've got a great reprieve, if you will, in my opinion. unholy, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. When I was young, I always wondered, what is that? That's weird. Having a form of godliness, denying its power. What are they talking about? That's someone who has a spirituality, you know, yes, sort of godly spirituality, yes, but we're not real believers in the living Lord. We're not connected to the vine of life. We're doing our own kind of spirituality. I was on an airplane once, and I'm one of those people that talks on airplanes that annoy people. I know what I am. So I asked him, I said, so tell me, do you have any kind of religious background? And it just sort of flows out. That's just the kind of person I am. And he goes, no, I'm not religious, but I am very spiritual. We know it, right? I mean, Satan just uses those same lines over and over again. He's not very creative. And so I thought I'd cross-examine him as an attorney. So I said, so tell me, so what do you mean by spiritual? Well, I just really feel at one and at peace with the universe. I go, yeah, and what else? He goes, that's it. That's it? That's a cloud. That's nothing. What do we have as believers? We have the Holy Word of God. It's proven itself over and over again. 2/3 of the prophecy of this book has already come to pass. We have eyewitnesses, not one, not two, but hundreds of eyewitnesses to Jesus's, not just his death and miracles, but his resurrection from the dead. 34 historians of the early church, about half of them were believers, half were not, validate that these masses existed, including the disciples, the apostles, who gave their lives, all believing that Jesus has risen from the dead, and they all sacrificed brutally because of it. You talk about a compelling case. I'd love to take that to trial. With 12, not just one, but all these other witnesses with the same story, validating something that they all had a heavy price to pay for testifying. And then we also have the power of our own testimonies. How many of you have seen someone, maybe yourself, whose life has been transformed and impacted by the living God through faith in Christ? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's real. So that's what God's given us. And the others have this empty spiritualism. And this is, from such people turn away. What is he talking about? Well, no, we want to evangelize these people. He's saying this because we're talking about people who are invading the church. That's what we're talking about here. People invading the church. And we see whole denominations splitting down the middle, from those who are followers of God and the Word of God and belief in Jesus, and those who are following other things. Verse 6 through 9 validates by an analogy of the time of Moses of how this creeps in to the people of God. For sake of time, I'm going to go to verse 10. But you, this is awesome, by the way. So right now, this is how bad things are going to be. If you stopped it right here, that'd be really bad, because you're like, we'd think, oh, then what do we do? What do we do? Verse 10, he answers this question, gives us our game plan for victory. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering. What is long suffering? It's long suffering. It's not good. Love. Love followed by perseverance, persecution, afflictions. How do we love when long suffering, persecution? I'll tell you how. It's because of our faith in Jesus and what he can do through us. We can love in a way the world does not understand. And the more we're persecuted, the more powerful our testimony as to the love of Christ and the reality of Christ in our lives. Afflictions. Happening at Antioch, at Icom, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. We're going to go through persecutions, but he'll take us through. In verse 12, does it apply to us? Verse 12 says, yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. So, what kind of persecutions are we looking at? Let me give you some examples. First, as far as churches, the backbone of America, the backbone of Western civilization, the advancement of civilization, the conscience of the nation, they've been under attack. Initially, this church is not allowed to build, grow, or expand, and we've been taking on these cases. Like in Salinas, a church wants to move to the other side of the street. They buy a building, and Salinas says, no, you can't use the lower level because you're not fun enough for our downtown area. They want to be a tourist center. Salinas. Okay. Californians laugh more when I say that. So it's not a tourist place. Okay. Wonderful people, though, I'm sure. But anyway, so they're told they can't be there. We sue. We lose the lower court. We take it to the Ninth Circuit. Ninth Circuit says, they have a right to be there. Fun is not a compelling state interest to keep out churches. And so we prevailed. But now, then after that, we had even much more egregious, a shutting down of churches and synagogues. And when the red states started opening them back up, the blue states, including Washington State and California, suppressed the churches and opened everything but the churches just about. We went and filed a lawsuit. We lost, took it to the Ninth Circuit. We lost, took an emergency writ to the Supreme Court. Now, if you just file an appeal in a petition for cert Supreme Court the regular way, it's a less than 1% chance. It's like a sort of a Hail Jesus pass, okay? Okay, some of you got that, all right. I'm an evangelical, I say, I just, Hail Jesus. But if you file an emergency writ, that's like throwing the pass out of the stadium, across town, it catches the wind, lands, and it's caught in another stadium, and you get a touchdown. It just doesn't happen hardly ever. They took it up. Justice Kagan allowed it to be taken to the Supreme Court. She's over the Ninth Circuit for emergency writs. Let it go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court in just 3 days. And great things happen in 3 days. Okay? Okay, Easter, for those of you who are still waking up, okay? Just 3 days, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3. Governor Gavin Newsom, open those churches now. And he did. And it sent ripples all across the nation, especially to blue states and blue state governors. And they immediately started reversing themselves, which was awesome. We've seen a lot of the challenges dealing with the vaxes. And you, if you're a true Christian, then, no, I won't do that, I'm just teasing. There's people, Christians who are vaxxed and those who are not vaxxed. That's not the issue. The issue is one of religious freedom. And the fact that hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of believers were being purged from their jobs simply because of their convictions not to take the controversial vax for COVID. We at Pacific Justice, we stepped in, we led the charge on this. And we did so, we called two other larger organizations with bigger budgets and asked them, say, you guys doing this too? They said, no, we're not touching, there's just too many. I said, then send them all to us. So we were the leader in this, and we did this across the country, and we grew, and we just kept meeting the needs, and God kept providing. And so right now we have 255 cases in active litigation. Some of those are class action lawsuits and cases in dealing with the vax, even still, helping and defending people. We're also been defending people needing organ transplants to live. They've been put on medical death row. That's the term I came up with to describe it. Medical death row, meaning they qualify for the critically needed heart transplant, they're ready, but 7% of our hospitals are saying, oh, you're not vaxxed, go ahead and die. And so we are suing about 100 patients in this terrible situation. We're suing. We won at Trinity Hospital in the Midwest. We just won against University of Michigan Medical Center. And we're taking on Mayo and Cleveland Clinic and the other big guys who have all, coincidentally, I'm sure, have major contracts with Big Pharma. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. No. So we're taking on these cases so that these people don't have to choose between their faith and dying. We have a number of cases, like a Christian preschool was shut down, partly because few of the preschoolers were caught not wearing their mask. And someone blew the whistle because some parents said, no, I don't want my preschooler wearing a mask. That's not good for him. And we now know medically and statistically that's correct. It was not good for the little ones. But also because they were this Christian preschool run by a church, Foothills Christian Church. They actually taught the Bible. And they sung Christian songs. And the state of California says that's violating the Child Daycare Act. And so we're suing on that behalf. School districts are requiring pronouns, teachers to lie to parents. Washington State's terrible in this regard. Oregon is, we've got litigation there. We're suing the New Jersey Attorney General in New Jersey on behalf of 5 school districts, saying we do not want to order our teachers to lie to parents and use these pronouns against their conscience. It's a hot issue, and we're taking it on by God's grace. Christians seeking asylum from other countries. 100 Christian Afghan refugees were stranded in a Muslim country, the United Arab Emirates. And we were contacted by a Baptist mission organization. They said, no one's helping us. You're the last on the list. I said, we'll do it. And we did it. And they're now in the United States and Canada with the ministry organization ministering to Muslim Afghan refugees for the kingdom, which is awesome. Child Protective Services taking children from families, not because they're being abusive, but because they're Christians and they object to affirming a lie with their children. We've had to go to court on more than one occasion. And in Oregon, it's illegal to be a foster parent and adopt. If you affirm to what the Bible says about gender confusion, you're disqualified. And we filed a lawsuit there too. Korean businesses, a Korean spa for women. Man comes in, you already know what the story says. He's insisting on it. They say, no way, we've got mothers and their daughters in there. He's suing now. The state of Washington is suing to pounce and close his Christian-owned Korean spa. And we're representing them. And then, of course, Planned Parenthood, one of my favorite people to be in litigation with. We're in litigation against them, defending the ability for people to have worship on a public property near a Planned Parenthood, when Planned Parenthood is not even open, but they're claiming they're losing business. Praise God. So that's why they're suing. So there's challenges, right? And there will be suffering. But verse 13, what does it say? It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, and by the way, so I don't forget, if you, in your bulletin, you'll see this. You'll see on this side my picture, and then on this side, more importantly, sign-up sheet. So if you'd like to keep up with our cases, please fill this out. And if you want to possibly support us on a monthly basis in any amount, just check that little box there. We'll be happy to get back with you. But it means a lot to me to keep you guys updated, so FYI. So evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see this on television. We see whole denominations falling to this and on a massive scale. But you, verse 14, you must be continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Who did he learn it from? Eyewitnesses to, you know, the Apostle Paul, eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Scripture for our children is very important. You know, a study was done that shows that children, there's only one way of increasing the IQ of a child, only one, proven, and that's memorization. Memorizing the Word of God, double benefit. And I strongly encourage it. Churches like this, our churches that are preparing their children to be armed with the Word of God. Verse 16, all Scripture, and this, you don't like absolutes, you're going to hate the next two verses. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is God's word important? Yes. Should we read it religiously, like a chapter every day? I'm running out of time. But no, this. Blah, 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 blah. No. Don't do it religiously. Do it relationally. And if that means you only have time to read and meditate on 2 or 3 verses, so be it. Commune with God. Let him speak to you. I know, because I did it religiously for the longest period of time. I was so proud of myself. I've got to page da 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 da. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to connect. This is his holy word. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Do you think it's very important what he's about to charge us with? Here it is, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. When you're seeing revival and when you're seeing persecution and black eyes, still preach the word. I remember I preached the word, shared the gospel with a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old who was in college, learned new ways of thinking, and I shared with him the bridge diagram and went through it all with him. He turned against it. I thought, what a waste. He, 17 years later, he knocks on my door, and he says, "Is Brad here?" No. He said, "Well, he shared with me the gospel. I didn't receive Christ. I went behind, went to prison. I remember what he shared with me. I gave my life to Christ there in prison. I'm now in full-time ministry. I want to come back and thank him." And the Lord convicted me because he didn't let me off the hook. Immediately I remembered, what a waste of my time. I wish I hadn't bothered wasting my time. It's not a waste of time. Even if it's out of season, you just keep sharing Jesus. Keep sharing Jesus. By the way, what's the worst that can happen to you? You get shot and killed. I mean, we all have to die. You want to die in a hospital with an IV? I'd much rather go out with a bang for Jesus. That's just me. You know, and anyway, I was going to get a bulletproof vest. I said, no, then I'm not going to go out with a bang for Jesus. Anyway, that's my maybe I need to go to a counselor. I don't know. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because of their itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. Oh, do we have that? How many people worship crystals and this and just all kinds of stuff in our society today? Verse 5, but you bury your head in the sand and just pretend you don't see what's going on. No. He says, but you be watchful in all things. God wants us to be aware, right? Now, do I watch CNN or Newsmax? Okay, that's a different issue. Okay. Newsmax? Okay, that's me. Personally. But be watchful in all things, okay? So be aware of what's going on. Be in prayer, right? That's one reason I love to keep people updated with our work. I love prayer support. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, this is to Timothy, but obviously he's also talking to the pastor. So this is to you, pastor. Fulfill your ministry. We're behind you. You shoot those baskets. We're going to be in the bleachers. No. Is that what he's saying? No. Who's he talking to? He's talking to two questions to know he's talking to. One, are you a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Number two, is your heart beating? That's it. Because otherwise he'd take us home. He's a loving father. I mean, why would he keep someone, I mean, if he loved us, why would he keep us on earth, right? When there's no purpose for us to be here and we could be with him in heaven, in eternal joy and peace and with the Lord. I mean, he's got it. If you're here, if you're alive, it's for a reason. It's for his glory and for his pleasure. And that could be through being a prayer warrior. It could be through a number of things. And now some of you are saying, well, I don't think that really, though, Brad doesn't really know me. I really am not up for this in terms of scripture. I'm not up for evangelism. It's not my personality. I'm just, let me tell you a brief story. It's not about us. It's all about him. It's not about who we are. It's about whose we are. A boy was 16 years old. He was a Christian, read his Bible, et cetera. And he was driving to school one day in a little Opel GT, and a motorcycle was passing cars coming from the other direction. As he went up the hill, the motorcycle went right through his windshield, head on, and smashed through the boy's skull. It was very gruesome. He had major brain damage. A third of his brain was hemorrhaging. They had to cut a large hole out of the skull about the size of a silver dollar just for the brain to swell. The left frontal lobe, dealing with logic, reasoning, speech communications, was toast. Billions of neurons disconnected. His parents were told as he was struggling to live in ICU, look, your son has had major brain damage. Even if he lives, he still could be a vegetable. You may still have to pull the cord. End quote. As far as the world was concerned, this boy was in the trash, only to be pitied for what could have been. And yet our God is a great recycler. And he loves to take that which the world throws away and do something new. And that's what he did with this young boy. That young boy went to Texas A&M University, where he got his degree in finance, logic, reasoning, 3.86 in his major, put himself through school, and then went to one of the top 20 law schools in the country, graduated with the top half of his class. Now, I would normally not believe this story, frankly, but I sort of have to because I'm that 16-year-old boy. And the reason I'm sharing this story is not so you'll say, there, verily, verily, that's the Lord's special anointed, for the Lord shall... No, stop the verilies. I've been married 23 years. My wife will tell you my halo is still really crooked, okay? In fact, if you're a single guy and you got a problem with pride, just get married. It'll be taken care of. I'm just saying. So, at any rate, moving on. But it's not about who we are. It's about whose we are and what God wants to do through us. It's about his work, not ours. And he gives that grace to do his work. Verse 6, this is Paul talking. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." It's a nice way of saying, I'm about to be killed, killed, executed. Verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Notice what he doesn't say. "I have seen churches started in Turkey and da-da-da, da-da-da. I have seen people come to the Lord. I have written letters that will impact." Doesn't say that. What are those things I just said? Those were all, what, results, right? He's not laying claim to it. He knows results. That's a God thing. God deserves all praise and all glory. We sing about that, right? And that's because he does. That means results is a God thing. God gets all the credit for the results, not us. So what does he want us to do if he doesn't want us to be burdened with results? He just wants us to be faithful for this day and this hour, this time that he's given us. That's awesome. Any of us could possibly say verse 7 when we pass away. And that's awesome. Now verse 8 is our final verse. And it says, "Finally," he's talking about himself literally, "finally, there's laid up for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." Whoa, time out. Paul, I've looked at your Facebook, okay? I know your past. You used to be called Saul. You were like the Osama bin Laden of the early church. There's a reason people didn't invite you to their Sunday school, okay, or Bible study. You were the great persecutor. You're going to be rewarded with the crown of righteousness? Really? Yes. Not because of anything that Paul did, but because he put his faith in what Jesus did on the cross, who bore all of his sin, all of his iniquity, including his persecution of believers and the church. Well, what about us? Well, he goes on to talk about that. He says, "And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Interesting. He doesn't say to all who've been through confession or confirmation or Bible study or church camp or tithed. He looked at the heart here, all who will have loved his appearing. So let's give a little test here. Here's a heart test, okay? Little heart test. Let's say that tomorrow at 1:30, we know for a fact that Jesus is coming back in the rapture. Now, no one knows the day and the hour. Get it. Okay, this is just a hypothetical. So let's say that happens. What would you be thinking and feeling right now if you knew that was going to happen? Would it be, awesome, forget our trip to Disneyland, this is so awesome, let's call Aunt Myrtle, I don't know, she's not saved, let's, is that what it's going to be? Or is it going to be, oh, shoot, I've got a big real estate deal at 2:30. I mean, this is a, or maybe even more likely, possibly, oh, shoot, I don't know if he's going to take me. Because, I mean, the church sees me as a nice person and all, but I've got this dark closet no one knows about of shame. That, and by the way, everyone has a dark closet. Okay, we all have shame. But you say, but no, this is so dark and so shameful. I mean, how can God forgive me for this and take me home to be with him? I mean, I can't even forgive myself. You know what we're really saying? It's like walking up to Jesus on the cross, and there he is in love, dying on the cross to bear our sin in pain and agony, bleeding forth with a crown of thorns. And we walk up to him and we say, nice try, Jesus. But you see, for me, that's just not good enough. And his response to that lie, I think, was when he said, it is finished. And all we have to do in humility is to believe it and receive his full payment for all of our sin on the cross and surrender our lives to him to be a follower of Jesus. And he will separate that sin and shame permanently as far as the east is from the west. You'll be made clean in the eyes of God. Your name will be written in the book of life, and you'll be guaranteed an eternal life with the Lord God Almighty and an exciting life of fulfillment here on earth as his child. That's available right now. When I just shared this and you just felt something in your heart, that wasn't me. It's probably the Holy Spirit saying right now, you have the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Lord God, we thank you and praise you that you're on the throne, that we can put our hope and our trust in you. Father, we pray, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to pour out your love upon us, Lord God, so that we cannot help but share the good news of Jesus to the world around us. Father, there's so many who do not know the Lord. Lord God, let us not be silent. Lord God, let your love show, let your truth show. We give you the praise and glory for what you're gonna be doing through our lives, through this church, and in this community, and in this state. Father, we also pray for those right now who do not have that personal relationship with you. They may be religious, they may have gone to church all their life, may have gone through confirmation, did all this stuff, but they have never entered into a personal, real relationship with you as their Abba, as their Father, because of that sin, and they're holding on to it, and they know that there's something separating them, and that sin separating them, and they want to be forgiven. Father, we pray right now for your Holy Spirit to speak to them. And if you're one of those people right now, just with every head bowed, just pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. You know my past. You know all of my past. And right now, I receive your payment for all of my sin through Jesus dying on the cross for my sin, paying for my spiritual death penalty on the cross. I thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness, for forgiving me of my sin, and I now surrender my life to you. You take the reins of my life. Thank you for being my Lord and my Savior now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, I'm going to tell you, Satan is really ticked off because he just lost his hand of dominion in your life. You just became a child of the living God. So you know what he's hoping for now? He's now hoping that you're just going to sort of forget what happened. And I want to give him a second black eye this morning. So if you just prayed that prayer, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Will you simply raise your hand so we can clap and welcome you into God's family? Did anyone pray that prayer this morning? Jesus died on the cross. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Well, saints, there's a lot of people who want that forgiveness and want to receive Jesus and make him Lord of their lives. Let's be bearers of the good news. God bless you all. Thank you very much. Thank you.
If this morning has been a blessing to you, and if you want to learn more about what Pacific Justice Institute does, take that flyer in your bulletin. You can also go to pacificjustice.org. If you want to support them at all, you can fill that flyer out in your bulletin, and you can send it on yourself, or we can take it for you. We've got a small stack that we're going to mail to them that we've already received. Unfortunately, they had to take off because they literally have to take off this afternoon in an airplane. And so please be praying for Brad Dacus and for his compatriot there, Jonathan. And we're going to do that in just a moment here. Want to just remind you of two things. We have our Christmas play next weekend. And then on Christmas Eve, we have one person who's getting baptized. So the tank's going to be full. So again, we like to throw people in. So I'll throw this out there. If you've been considering baptism or you have any questions about what baptism is, we want to make an opportunity available for you. And what a great opportunity, but Christmas Eve morning. So again, you can come talk to me, talk to Pastor Rodney, and we'd love to explain what baptism is. And you know, for some of you, it might be, well, I've been walking with Jesus for 30 years, 40 years, but you know, maybe I was sprinkled. Is that the same thing? We'd love to have that conversation with you. Nothing to be embarrassed about. It's just something we love to talk about just because Jesus talked about it. So let's just pray and ask God's blessing on us as we go from here, and we will gather again next week. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord God, for your word, for the fact that people can come from any part of the country or the world and open up your word and talk to us here, and we have that one thing in common, which is Jesus Christ. We have that one thing in common, which is the need for forgiveness, the shed blood of Jesus for us, and the hope that we have because that tomb was empty, that Jesus is alive now, and we are one family because of Jesus in our relationship with him. So, Father, we just ask that you would bless Brad Dacus and Jonathan, Lord God, as they are traveling home today. Protect them, Lord God, as they fly. And we just thank you for the ministry of PJI, and we just ask that you would continue to use them, Lord God, to just to stand against the darkness that is trying to prevail in this world. And, Lord, we know that it will not, that the light of Christ will shine forth. And we know ultimately that means Jesus coming back. So come quickly, Lord Jesus. And until that day, bless us now and cause us to be bold with the words of the gospel of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.